Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world.
Hello, everyone. My name is Diego Alfonso, and I'm your host with the Florida Aviation Network, broadcasting live and in the clear from the Howard Hughes exhibit in the Florida Air Museum at Sun and Fun. If you just join us, remember, 2013, this year, marks the 39th consecutive air show, fly-in, and expo here in sunny Lakeland in Florida. Also, bear in mind that this is the second largest event of its kind in the world. And if you've been here before and you're not here today, I know you're hurting. But if you've never been here and you're watching, you don't know what you're missing. So either way, stop the hurt and come over and experience the greatest aviation experience there is by coming over. As a host, you know that my job is to interview aviation personalities and aviation enthusiasts. Our next guest happens to be not one, but two. And they are a team. They are performers, they're pilots, and they're aerobatic pilots, and we're gonna have a chance to talk to them and let us know what they do, how they do it, and how they got into it. So I want you to help me welcome Melissa and Rex.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I'll tell you, I was looking at my notes, and I've been impressed with a lot of stuff that I read. And I'm going to start with you, since you just are here. I understand that you started to fly at a very young age.
I did, yep.
And can we disclose that, or is that a...
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay. So you can go ahead, you can tell us.
Absolutely. I grew up flying with my grandmother back in Pennsylvania, and I live out in California now. But I, you know, the first time I flew, I was probably 3 or 4 years old, and I just had a great passion for aviation from a young age. I'm 28 now. I did my first competition at 19 and my first air show at 20.
Great. And Rex, how did you get... Take me back to the first moment in which you decided that you wanted to be a pilot.
I think the first moment I wanted to become a pilot was when I really met Melissa about 6 years ago now. And I was a skydiver, and that's what I do in the air shows, is wingsuit skydiving. And when I met Melissa, it's kind of a prerequisite when you date an air show pilot to become a pilot yourself. And now, being married to Melissa, I have to be a pilot, and I have to get into aerobatics.
So you do aerobatics also?
Just basic, very basic aerobatics. We have a Cessna 150 Airbat at home that was Melissa's grandma's plane that we both learned to fly, and now I fly that. And hopefully we'll get a Giles or a Pitts.
Okay. Would you describe for us what your performance, I mean, what the show that you guys do is? So
absolutely.
Just go ahead and give us a little...
So what we do is quite a unique routine that we came up with, which is human flight, which is me flying a wingsuit, which is a fabric suit sewn between my arms and legs, and I get about a 3-to-1 glide ratio. So every 3 feet I fly forward, I drop 1 foot. And Melissa then, in her Edge 540, it's a high-performance mono-wing aerobatic aircraft, comes and rolls around me in the airplane. So what we're doing is we're creating a formation flight between a skydiver and an aerobatic aircraft.
You're a courageous man.
Yeah. You just don't want to annoy her before you go flying in the morning. That's just the golden rule of our act.
That's great. But now, Melissa, what I can understand wanting to be a pilot.
Yes.
What I want to know is, and I guess our viewers want to know also is, and by what you're saying, you can be helping a lot of those people out there. What was the spark that made that connection between being a straight and level pilot to an all over the place pilot? Tell us about that.
Well, my grandma used to make it like a roller coaster ride as a kid. You know, she'd do the countdown and go into a loop or go into a roll. And I just thought that was so much fun. And when I went to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, and I got there, I loved to fly, but I realized very quickly that, you know, I didn't want to just do that type of flying. I wanted to go play. I wanted to go try bush flying and aerobatics, and that was where my passion was. I want to feel like I'm part of the airplane and the airplane is moving with me.
Yes. It's funny that you say that because I'm a flight instructor.
Oh, great.
I'm a more of a straight and level kind of guy. And but you know, I always tell the whenever I'm teaching somebody, I always tell them, I said, you want to get to the point that you don't want to strap the seatbelt. Yeah. You want to attach the aircraft to you.
That is so true.
And to make those wings an extension of your body.
Absolutely.
And you can only get that when you take the airplane to the edges, because that's when you know when everything is happening and how far you can go.
That's right. And the airplane I fly is the Edge 540, and it is built around the pilot, a single seat plane, and it really, you're right in the center of rotation when you're flying, so you really do feel at one with the airplane.
Yeah. I'll tell you, when I was reading my notes and the research I did, and I saw that your grandma was the one that taught you how to do aerobatics and all that stuff, and I went back to my early days, and my grandma, what she did was make cookies for me. You know what I mean? It's like, what's wrong with this picture?
Melissa's grandma's cookies were pretty good too, but her flying was better.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I make great cookies, you know, I'll tell you that.
And my grandma, she married a test pilot when I was in high school, Leo Jansons, and he ended up being my flight instructor, and what a great guy. He came here. I did my first inverted ribbon cut at an air show yesterday, and he was out there holding the pole for me. He taught me to fly. He taught Rex to fly, so it was just such a special experience.
Oh my God, that is something else. But there is something else hiding here that I read in my notes, and which I mean, the aviation accomplishment, that's a great accomplishment. But and I'm addressing you now, Rex.
Uh-huh.
You are an accomplished mountain climber. Is that the right term?
Yeah, that's the right term. I'm a mountaineer. Before I met Melissa, I was a professional mountaineer for about 4 years, sponsored to go around climbing some of the highest mountains in the world. And I climbed the Seven Summits, which is the highest mountain on every continent, which includes Mount Everest. And I climbed Mount Everest at 21 years old. And so coming from a mountain climbing background, I absolutely loved the mountains and loved being outdoors. It naturally flowed into skydiving and naturally flowed into aviation as well. So I'm a paraglider pilot and a hang glider pilot and things like that. So it really naturally flowed all together.
Right. And you love altitudes, I guess.
That's
the deal.
In the clouds and around
because
the clouds.
Mount Everest, I don't know, but I correct me if I'm wrong, because you were there. It's what, 29,000 feet?
Yeah, 29,028 feet. So it's pretty, it's up there.
It's up there. Now, just for our viewers, to put this into perspective, Mount Whitney in California is about 10,500, maybe 10,800 feet high. Imagine that three times. That's a lot of altitude.
Yeah.
That's a lot of altitude to climb. I'll tell you, my adrenaline glands, I don't think they will produce enough adrenaline just for me to think about doing that. Never mind doing it. So you have climbed, name me the other mountains that you...
So there's basically a circuit that you can climb called the Seven Summits, which is the highest mountain on every continent. So you climb a mountain called Vincent Massive in Antarctica. In Australia, you've got Mount Kosciuszko. You come up to Asia, you've got Mount Everest. North America, Mount McKinley. Over to Russia, you've got Mount Elbrus. And then South America, you've got Aconcagua. So it is a circuit of high mountains, and yeah. It's a great way to see the world.
Okay, what can your what can the spectators expect today? Are you performing today?
Yes, that's
yes,
right.
Yeah.
We are. Yeah.
What time, by the way?
So 5 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. I want to make sure we're there to watch.
Yeah,
I
look up
seen
in the
your
sky.
Direct, by the way.
Oh, good. Come
and
on out.
I'm really looking forward to do that. But one more time, just give us a description of what the act entitles of the people.
Absolutely. So at around just before 5 o'clock, around 4:45, you'll see a little Cessna, a Sun and Fun Cessna take off with me in it. It will have the door removed. That's my jump aircraft. And what we're going to do is we're going to climb to 10,000 feet above the field elevation. Melissa's going to take off in her Edge 540 shortly after and come up to altitude and find us. And then when we're called into the aerobatic box for our performance at 10,000 feet, we'll run in down runway 9er and I'll jump out of the plane. I have a wingsuit on, so it's fabric sewn between my arms and legs, and I will glide up and down the crowd line with two orange smoke grenades on my feet. And Melissa will come in her edge and start rolling around me in the airplane, mm-hmm. doing aerobatics around the sky.
Okay, now I want to ask one more question. I want to I would like for you to explain to us, me and the viewers, the spark that took you from flying in an airplane to jumping out on an airplane like that. I understand the chute theory, but the how you call that,
the wingsuit. Yeah, I mean it's another form of flight, and I think it's one of the purest forms that I've come across, because you are literally just flying your body. It's your arms and legs that are your ailerons. It's your shoulders and your hips and your toes that point this aircraft in the direction that you want it to fly. And so I've always had a fascination of skydiving and flying my body, and always had a passion for that. So strapping on the wingsuit is just taking it to that next level.
And is there a predetermined altitude at which you stop the process?
Yeah, there absolutely is. You have to land with a parachute. It's just like a normal skydive. So at 2,000 feet, I flare the wingsuit. So I slow the wingsuit down, just like you would do in a normal aircraft for landing. And then pitch my parachute. So I reach back and pull my parachute out. And that just deploys like a normal skydiving opening, and I hopefully drift down to a nice soft landing.
Great.
And after he lands, the act doesn't end. I go into my aerobatic routine and then into the ribbon
cuts. I was coming to you now because I want to get into your head now and tell me when you start the process. I mean, he's flying now. Mm-hmm. Take me through the process of your mental process as you start rolling around.
Sure. So basically, we do it as a formation. So basically, the skydiver is the lead, and I'm in trail behind the skydiving aircraft. I watch Rex exit. He has smoke coming from his feet, and once he starts his flight path and I see that the jump platform is clear, then I just come in and start barrel rolling around him. And the reason we have to do it that way is he has fast forward speed, but also a high rate of descent, and my airplane's not draggy enough. I'll pass him if I try to just stay right next to him, and the barrel rules allow me to stay in proximity with him, and that way when people see my smoke, they can zero in and see Rex.
Exactly, you stay in sync.
Exactly.
In other words, stay in sync.
Yep.
Now, I want to ask you another question. What is your concern? In other words, when you're doing this, what is it you're thinking about?
My main thing is just to keep visual contact on Rex the entire time he's in free fall, so that I know where he is. He jumps with a radio, so he can tell me when he's about to turn. If the radio doesn't work, he just kicks his feet so I can expect it. And then if I was to lose contact with him because of the sun or anything like that, the good thing is he's in free fall, so he's always going down. I can level or climb, and then we have simple deconfliction.
Now, has there ever been a moment where there's been, shall we say, a close one?
No, I think that sometimes I can get in and catch him by surprise. But
you want to keep his confidence up. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But for me, it's a very predictable, very controlled act that we're doing. And then once he opens under canopy, I climb up to set up for the aerobatic portion of my routine, and I just wait until I know that he's on final or about to land before
right.
I start flying.
And why don't you tell us, what does your routine involve? The aerobatic routine.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so my aerobatic routine starts with a series of inverted flat spins. It goes from that into, a linkage of gyroscopic maneuvers and high-performance, more competition-style aerobatic maneuvers. I fly for the U.S. Unlimited team. First flew for the team 6 years ago, and I'll be competing in the World Championships this summer in Texas, which we're very excited to be hosting them in the States. So my routine is really, I try to show you the full envelope of what the Edge 540 is capable of, and with finishing it with an inverted ribbon cut. And then if anyone can hear the announcer, I'll get on the radio after the ribbon cut, and I do a little wave goodbye with the airplane, and I like to get on and just give a shout out to everyone and say a little word of encouragement to the women in the audience.
Of course, mm-hmm. Of course. And then what a better way to do it than yeah. showing them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, my hat is off to you.
Thank you.
I haven't seen your act, like I told you before, but I want to make sure that I will see it.
Wonderful.
I will see it this time. Rex, is there anything else that you guys would like to say before parting?
No, I mean, it's just fantastic to come out to Sun and Fun. And if you're not out here, please make an effort to get here. The vendors are all out here. The sun's shining and airplanes are flying. So this is a great venue to celebrate aviation together.
Absolutely.
I don't think we can think of a better place to be.
No, it's perfect.
If you're a pilot, even if you're not a pilot, The atmosphere is contagious. The enthusiasm, the everything. The airplanes going by, and the sounds and the smells and everything.
Oh, one of the best aviation events in the world. You know, I want to encourage people to come out. Our sponsors are out there at the booth, so a great big thanks to them for making it possible for us all to be here.
Sure.
And if you want to follow us anymore, our website is www.sportsgal.com.
Okay, repeat that again.
www.sportsgal, sportsgal.com.
Did you hear that? You got that? Okay, Melissa, it's been a pleasure
having you
here.
Diego,
Rex,
thank you so much.
Wish you guys the best. And I know you got to be a knockout today, so I'm going to be out there myself. See you in a little bit.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.